Merry Christmas!
You're a big man, but you're in bad shape. With me, it's a full-time job. Now behave yourself.
Hello and welcome to Pod Stallions, the official podcast of Plaid Stallions. I'm Brian, and with me as always is Jason.
Hello, everybody.
And the theme this month should come as no surprise. It is Christmas, and that's why we called it Wishbook Kids. Obviously, this website was completely inspired by Wishbook catalogs, such as Sears and for me, Eaton's, but I'm sure, Jason, it would be JCPenney and Montgomery Ward's.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Were you an Alden's kid? Did you get Alden's catalogs?
No.
Neither did I, but they've grown to be some of my favorites.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have some. I've been paying attention to. You always have great, you know, postings towards the holidays, and just some amazing flyers, those Toys R Us flyers. You know, the Star Trek stuff.
Oh yeah, that's all past stuff.
That's great stuff. That's just – and what's the one – you had the one that had the Canadian Star Wars stuff?
Oh, yeah. That was just like a – I think that was a Sears Canada.
Which I'm shocked, to be honest with you, that you, of all people, have not been able to track down those utility belts.
You know what the thing is that Star Wars is such a big pool, and there's lots of guys who are more than willing to outbid me on that stuff. So if it was my focus and I spent a lot of time on it and probably money, I probably could track them down, but I have to stumble onto them for no money for me.
My geek question to you then is if your realm, let's say, is 70s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Remco utility belt type things. Where do you – I mean, Star Wars is obviously, you know, a big top five kind of thing. But would you use the same argument for Spider-Man or a Batman utility? Like, wouldn't there be just as many Batman collectors out there trying to get the 70s Remco Batman utility belt or something? Or is it
no.
a whole different animal?
It's a whole different animal because you have Kenner Star Wars collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And I even know I've crossed paths with handfuls of Canadian Star Wars collectors, guys who collect – like I collect Mego stuff in Canadian packaging because it reminds me of being a kid.
Okay. And,
you know, I would say I know offhand 10 guys personally, like not online, but like, hey, there's Mark. There's, you know, that collect Canadian packaged Star Wars stuff. And I know we talked about it in the last in the Star Wars podcast, but you know they did some funky things in Canada. They even put all the first 12 figures into a box, like a shoebox that had Star Wars written all over it. And I never knew that.
I've never heard that.
There's a whole book called Canadian Star Wars. We talked about it in the Star Wars one.
So.
You know, there's guys looking for this stuff, and Star Wars is, you know, I come from the Mego stuff, and I'd say that it's safe to say we're outnumbered 20-1.
Wow.
You know, with Star Wars collectors, maybe, you know, in terms of vintage Star Wars collectors, if you then add in people who just buy the the Star Wars Black and the new stuff, we might be outnumbered, you know, 50-1. Star Wars really popular.
So what would the if you could find a boxed Kenner, you know, Star Wars utility belt?
I think you could name a pretty maybe absolutely four figures. And if maybe if you got it, I don't subscribe to this, but maybe if you got it graded, you know, that whole miserable process of putting stuff in Lucite so you can't touch it.
Right.
Maybe it would go up to five figures. But that's just conjecture on my part. I really don't know. But you have to
find an expert to grade it.
I just there's experts.
I was being facetious.
Yeah. Sorry. there's that whole AFA situation, which I think was created out of the need in the Star Wars pool because there was so much shenanigans going on, and they, for all I know, these people really know their Star Wars. But you know, I've seen some Mego stuff they've done that's just Bush League. You know, that they didn't catch.
Yeah.
You know, it's anyways, this is Christmas and not business.
Yeah, come on, stop ruining Christmas.
So, tell me about the Lenzi family Christmas ritual in the 70s. Did you do anything unique or
mostly bare knuckle boxing in the backyard.
Yeah. You know. And the winner gets the presents.
Yeah, 20 below, and whoever comes out on top gets the presents.
Made a man out of you, did it?
What's that?
Made a man out of you?
Oh, absolutely it did. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We never did anything on Christmas Eve. I have this. Maybe I talked about this on the show. I feel like I did, but I don't remember when it was exactly. I sort of stopped believing, but I know that seminal Christmas, that was that Star Wars Christmas, where the early bird kit was under the tree. And the Marvel supersize specials were under the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And a few other things. Was the year, so I must have been six, probably. And it was, like, just so vivid. It was, you know, time to go to sleep. You know, tried to get to sleep. Started to make my way down the stairs. Nothing under the tree. Went back up to sleep. Maybe I nodded off. I don't remember. I must have done this three times. And each time, nothing. And then as a kid, you know, you just lose track of time, whatever, and I fell asleep. And then that next time that I woke up, everything was under the tree. And my heart stopped. And I truly, absolutely believed somehow this stuff arrived. I wouldn't have thought that anybody else was involved other than, you know, Santa Claus or whatever. And that was the early bird kit Christmas. And I still have bits of that early bird kit. That my brother, you know, helped fill out for me, because it was just how big, you know, Star Wars was. It was. Oh, wait, I would have been seven. I take it back. I would have been seven. Christmas, 77. So we, you know, it was Christmas morning. We would do the Christmas morning thing. It was nothing Christmas Eve that I really recall. Mm-hmm. And then it was get yourself together and get over to my grandma Lenzi's, where it was a big Italian. Actually, you know, I take it back. We would, on Christmas Eve, we would go over to my grandmother, Teresa, where she lived. To the right and left of her were her sister-in-law, Lucille, and her brother, Tony. And then on the other side was her sister, Molly, and her husband, Ernie, Yaruso. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Molly and Teresa were like a year apart. They were like twins. They were just inseparable. They both lived to be 100. And on Christmas Eve, we would be over at and this would be my great aunt and my great uncle. We would be over at Molly and Ernie's house for, you know, like a fish salad, this Italian fish salad and a bunch of food. And then on Christmas morning or Christmas Day, we'd get over to my grandmother's and it would be all Italian food again. You know, Thanksgiving was the same way. There would be turkey and other things, but it was mainly, you know, meatballs and brujol and, you know, pasta and all kinds of stuff. It was a big Italian, you know, Christmas.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. My wife's French, and there is turkey, but there's all kinds of other stuff, too. Turkey almost gets outshined.
There'd be times where we'd sit down and go, oh, the turkey. Oh, we forgot about that. And then they'd go back in the kitchen and finish, you know. And, you know, we had a – my family had a restaurant. So, I mean, it was – food was just – 24/7. It was just all they did was make food. They didn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. So that was a big deal. That's a big memory for me at Christmas time. So it always feels strange at the holidays to not have that, because it was such a part of my childhood and my life. You know, this second home, this restaurant that we had. But never, you know, it wasn't until I became more of an adult that I even heard about the tradition of opening something on Christmas Eve. that it's so strange. And so you had said to me that you didn't open anything on Christmas Day, you said.
No, like my dad's German, mm-hmm. and Germans traditionally just open everything on Christmas Eve, okay. or so I'm told.
Okay.
My folks apparently did start opening Christmas morning, but they hated it. Like my mom came from the she's like Scottish Irish, so they did it on Christmas morning, but they didn't. My folks just didn't like getting up early.
Okay.
And I guess one Christmas I ate my sister's Play-Doh. I have a lovely picture, because my sister was told if I you know got into anything, she was in trouble. So it's a picture of me smiling and her crying under the Christmas tree, you know. And I love that photo. And I was supposed, you know, years ago we were working on a book called Christmas in the 70s that hasn't quite come to fruition yet. And that would be the photo I was going to lead with, you know, because it's just so awesome. But yeah, we opened everything on Christmas Eve, and our ritual for 20 years, so my, you know, half of my life, was to drive the two blocks over to my mom's parents' apartment and spend like an hour there on Christmas Eve. And you know, it's a weird, I don't know if you have this shift. I do. On my dad's side, we are the only grandchildren. I'm the only boy, and my sister was the only girl, so it was just all for you. On my
it was similar. It's funny you say that, because on my father's side, so he had a sister. She had a boy named David, who I think I've talked about.
I think you have, yeah.
He's the one that snuck me into the Howling.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was myself and then my two older brothers, Jack and Gino.
Yeah.
So that was it. On my mother's side, you know, she's the oldest of nine kids. Talk about Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
On that side. And so there's about 74 grandkids, yep, on that side. So we'd eventually get over there. You know, we'd make our way, you know, I think, to the other side of the family, but it was further away and there was more, you know, more hassle and everything. And it was always kind of a Lindsay thing, I guess. But yeah, it was very much. And I am also, you know, David and I were a couple years apart, but my brothers are 10 years older than me.
Right.
So it got to a point where it was kind of about my cousin and I, and you know, because we were younger, and then everything just became, I mean, it's kind of, you sort of divide it up between, and I know we were talking about Star Wars just before the show, but there is like a pre and a post Star Wars Christmas for me.
Oh yeah, and definitely for me as well.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean it was all about Star Wars. It was kind of like, it was all about space.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you could get that was, you know, remotely involved, I wanted, you know.
Yeah, it got real sci-fi. I mean, the toy stores did too, but what I was saying, what I was trying to say was on my mom's side, there were eight grandchildren.
Okay.
And I wasn't even the first boy, and I most definitely wasn't the cutest. I mean, but behind me just kept getting cuter and cuter, you know.
How could you not be the cutest?
Oh, you really have to see this, my family. and you know what? I wasn't even the only Brian. So it was...
That's funny.
It was kind of a zoo there. And, you know, you pretty much got whatever, you know, you went there, you opened your sweater or whatever you got. Right. When I was younger, I think I was a little insensitive to my grandparents, because it was really just like the pregame show to the real Christmas in my head.
Sure.
Right. Because, you know, you also had, you know, every brother and sister of my grandparents, they probably had three, four kids. So you, sure. I'm still go to family stuff with my sister and go, is the guy in drag a cousin or something? And, you know, and she'll say, that's not a guy in drag. And yeah, you know, it's so we still don't know everybody. And, you know, as the years went on, though, it became this kind of like tradition, you know, like Christmas Eve. My grandma has since, you know, my grandparents have both since passed away on my mom's side. And, but I still kind of miss going to, like, I took my kids to that little apartment on Christmas Eve. You know, I kind of miss doing that. It was different. And then we would get in the car, walk into my grandparents' house where the whole house was done up like with toys. And my grandfather really loved Christmas. Like he was Perry Como about Christmas. you know, and what we would be able to do was take our stockings.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always remember what was in those stockings. Like if there were Star Wars comics rolled up in there, or I got the Batman Viewmasters 1 year. And then you had to have dinner. And they had a traditional, like, traditional German-type dinner. It wasn't like turkey or anything. Mm-hmm. And then we would open presents, and you had to be patient during the meal, which just about killed me.
Absolutely.
And then you would open presents. We would stay till, like, 10 or 11, pack in the car, go home, and open presents, put on our pajamas, and my parents would pretend that Santa Claus came while we were putting our pajamas on. And then open presents there and then just pass out, basically.
So were you ever aware – were you always aware that there was no such thing, or did they make you
– Oh, no. I completely bought into that because who wouldn't want to? I think I can remember the seminal moment when I got told that it wasn't real. And that was – spoilers for anyone listening. it was – I was – probably finger painting with this guy named Dean. And oddly enough, I still see this guy.
God.
And we were listening.
Do you guys still finger paint?
We don't. No, okay. We usually run into each other at the beer store now. but we were listening to a Kiss album in third grade and finger painting. And I said something about Santa and he looked at me and went, yeah, Brian, there's no Santa. You know that, right? That's your parents. And just completely burst my bubble.
Just what a crushing thing to do.
And then I think he began to describe scenes from Alien right after that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. This kid, he must have been like, you must have looked at him like he was smoking a pipe and he had a gray goatee and a turtleneck. Like he's a man.
I did call him Papa. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, it's back to the it's funny you say that because like Alien was another thing that I was aware of, and I wanted that figure. I don't know if I saw the commercial or I saw it in the store or something, but I wanted that. That was another one of those space things that I wanted but didn't get. You know, did you ever see a movie called About a Boy?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
it's a Nick Hornby book. It's I love his stuff, and it's one of my favorite movies because I think it's such a great adaptation. Like they found the perfect guy and kid to play this relationship.
All the Nick Hornby characters seem to be kind of scoundrels but lovable.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to meet him. He did a signing in LA once, and I asked him. I managed to ask him a question that he'd never been asked, which was. Does he ever think about his characters and where they would be today?
Hmm.
And he said, oh, I've never been asked that before. And I asked him specifically about the character in About a Boy. I don't remember what he said. But there's this kid, he's got these, and this is not my, these are not my parents, but he had these like this granola kind of mom and the dad, you know, they were separated or divorced, and the dad was a bit older. But there's this moment where the kid is opening presents on Christmas morning and the narration, Hugh Grant's narration is like, you know, I'll give it to the kid. He could make the worst present seem like, you know, he was opening up gold. And so he's opening up a pair of socks. He's like, oh, brilliant. This is brilliant, Dad. Thanks so much. Like everything was wonderful. And like, I remember, you know, being conscious of getting to the toys, but not, you know, being aware, like, don't overlook the other stuff because I don't know where I seem to think that the toys were more Santa's domain.
Yeah.
And the clothing and everything else, the socks and the pajamas or whatever.
The V-neck sweaters.
Yeah, it came from the family. And so I was very conscious of, like, don't rush to all the, you know, divvy it up between a toy and a box and, you know, something else. And I was also really aware when it sort of – two things happened. There was this shift, and I've got a note. I've got a note that my mother saved, and I couldn't have been – when did Bullet Man come out?
The Bullet 1976? Man?
So yeah. I must have been five.
Yeah, I was in kindergarten. I remember it.
Five years old. It's the worst penmanship. I wrote the note to Santa and said, this is what I'm looking for. Oh, and by the way, here's the address. So I left it out the night before, not thinking, well, if he's already at the house, he knows the address, you know. But then on the back of the note, I wrote, hey, sorry about the writing. You know, I was aware I had poor penmanship.
Sorry, so sloppy.
But I put Bullet Man, you know, doll, and I got the Bullet Man doll, and I think I got a Spider-Man doll or something else. But I was just on that thing of, like, I'm not sure what the deal was. And then my mother wrote, because I left out milk and cookies, and my mother wrote, thanks, Jason, ho, ho, ho. And I was absolutely, utterly convinced that it was Santa getting out a pen and thanking, because the cookies were gone, the milk was gone.
Well, it's irrefutable proof, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, within a couple of years, when I start getting more aware of, I think maybe I'm being asked, you know, is there something that you want? Or I'm kind of, you know, leaving hints and stuff. It was always about 50-50, maybe less, that my mother would get it right. And so the Han Solo pistol, I wanted it year after year after year. And every year, there was some other space gun under the tree. There was one that was literally like outer space gun, and it was sort of a cone. It's like a black gun with a clear sort of needle nose thing at the front, and it made different sounds. And I as far as I was concerned, it was the Han Solo pistol. I mean, I got the three position laser rifle.
I did too, actually.
I got the very first one. Before they changed it, and I obsessed over it, but I never got the Han Solo pistol. Like, I got Bullet Man, but I wanted Boba Fett, the 12-inch Boba Fett 1 year, and I got some other guy, you know. But I got a Cylon, but I didn't get this. But I never, and I know it doesn't make me sound, I shouldn't get a medal for this, but I never made her aware that there was a mistake. I was so grateful to get whatever I got. And I loved it to death. And then the other thing that I remember distinctly was the Indiana Jones doll. This
oh,
was
really?
The year that I knew there was no Santa, and it was the one time that I begged in the store, and she got it for me in the store and said, you know, but not until Christmas. And the other, I'm sorry, I take it back. The year before that was the Millennium Falcon. Same thing. I was, you know, oh, I just begged and begged, and it was like, fine, but you're not getting it until, you know, Christmas. And man, that Indiana Jones doll, I still have it in the box.
Really?
You know, I played with it, but it was, you would think it just came out of the factory, this thing.
No kidding, eh?
No, yeah. I cut out the proof of purchase, you know, as you had to do to get, you know, free figures, of course, from any of the Kenner products. But those were seminal sort of Christmas memories for me. And did you go through, like, a, you know, making lists and go through the wish book and circle stuff or try to make lists?
To the point of insanity. And I posted it on the blog this month, and I've posted it before. My grandmother handed me one back from 79 that is just – and unfortunately, you know, in transporting it – I used to have it on display in my office at work, and a couple of the little cutouts, because I cut out everything from the Sears catalog, you know, like a picture of a Buck Rogers figure, and I had mm-hmm. I wanted an Amigo Green Goblin and Amigo Falcon, and I just drew them on the back, and those drawings are epic. and it's on the wall of my office here, because I think it really has a lot to do with what I do and what I was like as a kid, and yeah, I was completely bonkers for that kind of thing. And I, you know, I knew what I wanted and I wanted what I wanted. And I got, you know, I've got no complaints. I didn't get everything I wanted as a kid, but I don't think you should. But you know,
that's a great, I don't think you should. I think that's absolutely, I think it should, that if that doesn't set you up for life, then nothing will. It's like, you're not going to get everything you want. And you're not going to get it all right now, and just be patient, and you may get it or you may not or whatever, but be happy with what you got and shut up. Have some more ham. That's great. That you're right. I don't think that I would, if I had kids, I'd withhold.
Well, we do too. And you know, I can remember wanting Mego Buck Rogers. I loved the show. Uh-huh. I didn't understand why I didn't get it. And my folks, their logic for it was, you don't need another thing. You don't need another line to collect. We're done.
Fast forward 2013.
Yeah, that didn't have. Yeah, okay. as I stare at my Buck Rogers shelf here,
I can hear your inner monologue. I'll show you guys.
Yeah, I'll show you all. I'll waste my 20s.
I'm gonna collect everything.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You say that. When my son was born, I realized, like, I had a toy room, but it was more like a hoard room. And I realized, you know what? This collecting everything thing isn't working. You know, like, I had stacks of Stretch Armstrongs, and I had Matchbox Mobile Action Command, and I had, you know, and it was like, I should really just focus on one or two things and just enjoy them. And I had a big, like, yard sale online and sold them all and just started buying what I liked. And of course, now I've got the same problem, but it took a lot longer to get there.
Right. Was there stuff, you know, it's funny, God, because I, you know, like I said, I had two older brothers. And so it was just on the cusp of they, you know, when I was little, they were still getting, you know, toyish things. Remember a game, this guy just thought of this. Because we would, there were two football games. I mean, you know, American football, U.S. football. Two different things. One was that vibrating board.
Yeah.
Do you remember that thing that you'd plug in and it was a tiny little football that went under the arm of one of the players and they'd try to get down the field?
Yeah. I'm getting feedback here. Vaguely, I remember it, but really, we were more about hockey here.
I'm sure. Yeah, but I figured there may be something sort of similar. It was the biggest ripoff in the history of toy. I mean, it was such a stupid toy. But there was another game called Talking Football.
Yeah, my friend bought that at a yard sale when I was 11.
Oh, we were obsessed with this
the
thing.
The little records.
You put the little records in it, and it's long enough, it's wide enough, and it's good. And the guy would be given, and you never knew what the plays were going to be, or, you know, those were big. But the other thing that was super cool, and you and I have talked about this, or I think emailed about it or something. Oh man, I will never forget. Cause there, you know, got the Star Wars X-Wing, got the Millennium Falcon, which, you know, made that sound that, you know, that was like an alarm that never happened in the movie.
Yeah, they all made like crap sounds.
The X-Wing did me yeah. kind of thing. And then I saw this commercial for something called Starbird.
Oh yeah.
And it made the coolest laser sound of any toy in existence. I mean, even the pistols that got released, and the Star Wars pistols, they were like, you know, to make a yellow sticker thing that would come out the front. But this Starbird thing was like lasers that came right out of, you know, a space movie or a cartoon or something.
Yeah, and Milton Bradley made that.
Milton Bradley, and it was top of my list, and I remember getting it that Christmas morning and bringing it over to my grandmother's to show my cousin, because it did this thing where you tilted you turned it on and you held it by the neck, the ship. When you tilted it upwards, it made an ascending sound. And when you tilted the nose downwards, it made a descending sound.
Yeah, they kind of shamed Kenner with that, you know.
They really did. It was badass. And when you press the button, the two little red things in the front would light up and just the coolest laser sound. And then the front would come off from the back end of the thing. And there were it was a really cool toy. Like little, there were on the wings, there were two little mini ships that you could detach from the wings. I mean, this thing was badass. I don't know what happened. There's a whole, I've talked about this. There's a whole section of toys from my childhood that disappeared. Starbird, all my Migos, my Shogun Warriors, everything disappeared, and my mother to this day will not talk about it. And that's one of the things that I would love to get back someday. The other thing that was on a list, and maybe we've talked about this. You might know what I'm talking about. This was I put this on a list, and I don't know why I was so obsessed with this. We always had Hot Wheel cars, and Corgis were big. I've talked about the Bond Corgis that I had, and my brother Gino liked. Gino used to love the little diecast cars and stuff. And somebody made this thing where you could essentially make Hot Wheel cars by melting wax in this cylinder. And then you would put the wheels. There were two sets of wheels, on a little wire spindle. So four wheels, you'd stick it in the little mold, and you'd heat up wax, hot wax, and pour the wax into the mold. And then, of course, let it cool off and then put stickers on it. But there's this thing could not be made today, I wouldn't think. The Easy Bake Oven is one thing, but this was hot wax being melted in a metal cylinder, and it made that funky wax smell that you kind of got high off of. And I loved that thing. I played with it for weeks, but I don't remember who made it or what it was. If it was like a Mattel thing or a Hot Wheel thing or what it was.
I think we have discussed this, and I've forgotten the answer. But yeah, that sounds
I think it was Mattel.
Yeah.
I think it was Mattel. There was a period there where I was kind of obsessed with the thing maker type things.
Yeah, the permanent scar things.
Permanent scar things that would burn your face off. And there was I'll never forget finding the one. This might have been at Christmas too. Where do you remember the ones that you'd make and you'd turn them into rubber creatures?
Yeah, creepy crawlies. Yeah.
Creepy crawlies. Well, there was one where you could eat them.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
You could make the creatures out of gelatin or whatever it was, and then it came with a magic marker that was flavored, and so you could add detail to the bugs and stuff with a magic, like a grape flavored magic marker.
Yeah, that had to be good for you, eh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It had all the essential nutrients. That was another Christmas thing. I'll never forget that car thing. I don't know why I was so obsessed with that, but there was so much stuff that I, never got that so many kids would get. There's always that kid down the block. You know the kid.
Oh, yeah.
That got everything.
Mine was named Donnie, as I recall.
Yeah, mine was Mark.
Yeah.
Got everything. I got, there were those kids that got every Star Wars figure, every vehicle, and every playset. And I got, and this is, once the I was still into Migos, but once Star Wars hit it, that's what it was. And, I got Land of the Jawas, I remember asking for something else. And I got, because I wouldn't have asked for Land of the Jawas.
Because it wasn't. You say that, but I remember I bought the, not Land of the Jawas, but remember when they painted it white? And
it was like Hoth
thing. Some aunt sent me birthday money, and that's what I bought with it. And I remember getting home, with the buyer's remorse, because it's absolutely brutally boring playset.
Land of the Jawas. What do you zip them up the thing, and then you've got the shuttle is the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, you didn't get that with the Hoth one.
That's right. But wasn't the Hoth one? Wasn't that like a catalog? No, it wasn't a catalog.
I got it at Eaton's, and I remember. My other choice was 12-inch black hole figures, and the thought of a 1/6 scale Ernest Borgnine did intrigue, but I went with the Hoth playset after my dad said, "We've been here half an hour, pick something."
You want to talk about buyer's remorse? This will make you cringe. I think I've told you this story. I think I bought a couple of the black hole figures as a kid, and the one I was obsessed with getting was the robot, the Sentry, the maroon burgundy robot.
Yeah, the Sentry robot, yeah.
Yeah, because he came with guns. He came with weapons. None of the little figures or the Star Trek ones came with weapons.
A giant weapon that he couldn't hold. And
well, that's why I got my mother to get in the car and drive me back to the store.
Oh, yes.
and return it. Excuse me, I'd like to make a complaint about this action figure. Clearly the pistols are too large for its hands, and I'd like a refund.
Get so Marty Abrams on the phone.
I returned the Sentry. What a nerd. I returned the Sentry robot because the guns didn't fit in his hands.
I don't think we should continue this program anymore.
What an ass. So, yeah, so I got Land of the Jawas. I got the Falcon. I had the X-Wing. I had the figures. My mother was always good about that. She always somehow was aware of the figures I needed. And there'd be a couple under the tree, but there were never duplicates. She was good about that. It could have been my father, but I mean, it seems like something she would have done. And then I had the Cantina, which I loved, the Cantina playset.
Yeah, I always wanted that, but I never got it. That did seem to me like a just really full of wind. I think one of my earliest draws to Star Wars was the fact that creature Cantina, or you know, like all the characters in it, all the aliens in that.
Well, it was also, you know, there's a pattern forming here where anything involving Han Solo, you know, I wanted, including the 12-inch figure, which I must have passed in the store 1,000 times and never got. Like, for some reason, she never got it for me. All right, it was on my list year after year until there was one time that I went a little crazy because of that Mark kid down the street who I couldn't have been, I must have been 11. Maybe, and he opened my eyes to a world that I didn't know existed, that it wasn't just like Target stores or, you know, Children's Palace. Like, you know, some of the hardware Hanks, they have toys in them too. You could try calling those. I spent an afternoon going through the yellow, calling every toy store, every hardware store, every supermarket, trying to find the 12-inch Han Solo, thinking that it would still be on the shelves.
So you drove a lot of clerks nuts.
Oh, absolutely. Just imagine that kid calling.
Well, I share it. I did the exact same thing. I remember when that Marvel premiere with Doctor Who came out, we didn't have comic stores. So I was just calling, like, variety stores. You know? Do you have Marvel premiere with Doctor Who?
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
Yeah, it went really well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I ended up getting... I think I called my mother at work and said, you know, there's good news and bad news, you know, and told her, like, but I managed to find one. It's in Eden Prairie, you know, like it was somewhere an hour away. And she always said, don't call me at work unless it's an emergency of some kind, you know. So she must have thought, you know, I'd stabbed myself because I was a latchkey kid. You know, I was one of those kids that, you know, I'd come home to an empty house. I'm not saying I was, you know, living in slum. I mean, it wasn't like a bad thing. It just was, you know, the schedules were what they were, that I'd be home alone for a couple of hours.
You didn't call in through the cat door. You, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so she must have thought that something horrible had happened. And she's like, this is about a toy? Like, well, yeah, but it's a 12-inch Han Solo, and I've never gotten it. I finally got my Han Solo pistol, and I finally got the 12-inch Kenner Han Solo as an adult. You know, I don't think I paid an exorbitant, you know, this is maybe early 90s I found this stuff. Yeah. In fact, the pistol might have been Canadian packaging, now that I think of it. And maybe I'm wrong, but the 12-inch Han Solo had the proof of purchase cut out, so someone had the same bright idea that I did.
Yeah.
But Buck Rogers was a big one, Black Hole, Star Trek, but not so much motion picture. Just wasn't turned on by those toys.
Boy, was I. But I don't think that was a Christmas item. And, you know, I did a Mego Museum podcast last week, and you know, it was about Christmas Mego memories. And honestly, I don't have many because Migos were like a day-to-day. Like, you could almost con your mom into a Mego. I could, especially at the grocery store, I could con my mom into the odd Star Wars figure, or at least, you know, pathetically give her enough change to cover a third of it. Nice. But, you know, my Christmases were, prior to Star Wars, were I got something $6 million man every year. Like, my mom nearly got trampled when the first $6 million man came out. And then she had to give it to my grandmother. I don't know how that worked out, but my grandmother got all the credit.
She a big Lee Majors fan, your grandmother?
No. Just my grandmother got the credit for giving me that. I see. Yeah, and I have video evidence of me opening it and stuff.
How about she had to give it to your grandmother? It's like, no, I'm sorry, Brian, but this one goes to your grandma.
Yes. Watch your grandmother play with Lee Majors. but my mom still tells me that story of how it was one of those department stores with an outside entrance and then stairs from the mall going in. Yeah. And when they opened up the outdoor entrance and my mom piled in with all these people, and it was that, like, right out of a movie where, you know, the guy was standing in front of the end cap and saying, "Ladies, please, this is all we have." And
wow,
my mom got one and she said, "Oh, that wasn't too bad." And she said it was like a herd of elephants coming down the stairs after her.
Oh my God.
Because they opened up the mall entrance. And I guess Lee, like the $6 million man doll, was just a license to print money. And it was sort of like the Cabbage Patch of, I guess, 75. You know, it was a hot toy. And she said, you know, like, she the way she describes it, and my mom's not a hyperbole kind of person, was that, you know, she was a little scared buying it.
I had that figure. I just don't remember it being. I mean, the show was big. Obviously, it was a big deal. But I'd never heard that. It must have been.
Well, it was 19. You know, it was the first year it came out. So maybe that's it. And you know, I think I'd already gotten Atomic Man, the G.I. Joe knockoff of him. But I really, really wanted the real thing. And then every year after that, you know, I would get Maskatron, and I would get. I think I got Oscar in 77, and then the last one I got was Bigfoot. I actually got Bigfoot, and I knew it was kind of over when I basically just pretended Bigfoot was Chewbacca.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, because I, you know, Star Wars, like, you know, I think I'd stopped watching $6 Million Man by this point, but I really got a lot of play out of those guys. I really liked those characters.
You know, it, now that you – and again, this goes back to the 12-inch thing. I never got one Star Wars 12-inch figure.
Really?
I'm shocked by that I didn't – I mean, I guess I wouldn't have, like, put up a fuss or anything, but I know I would have asked for this stuff.
See, that, you know? That's what happened. It just switched from $6 Million Man to the next year I think I got Han and Luke, and then the year after that I got IG-88 and Boba Fett and then IG-88.
So Boba Fett put the rest of those figures to shame.
Well, yeah, he was a lot like the $6 Million Man, too. He had some of the same features, like the eye and
he had all that articulation.
Yeah, he did rule.
You know, that was a big deal. I mean, that those other ones, I even knew as a kid that
they were kind of dolls.
Vader and Chewbacca were just ripoffs. You know, they didn't do anything. You know, and I remember looking at the boxes and get like, you know, Chewbacca's magazine cartridges come out of his belt. Like, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I remember the Stormtrooper really disappointed. Like, my friend had the Stormtrooper and I think C-3PO, and mm-hmm. they kind of sucked.
They did. They didn't – not that you needed them to, like, you know, explode or anything, but they did. Oh, that's another one, the Shogun Warrior, Dragoon.
Yeah, you got those?
I got him at Christmas.
That was another draw-the-line toy line with my parents. There was no – F and way I was getting those, and believe it or not, I don't have a house full of them.
What was the reasoning though?
I think their size. Okay. Really, I remember Wilco had a like one of those play tables where you got to, you know, touch and fool around with the stuff, and they had all the Shogun Warriors on this table, and I was messing around with Godzilla, and I was, you know, I'm 8 years old playing with a giant Godzilla doll. Of course, I want it. Sure. And I, it's a really fuzzy memory, but I turned to my mom and said, "I gotta have this," and she just kind of went, "Nah, you're never getting those." Like it was dead.
Wow, dead subject.
Yeah, and I don't think I fought it really hard, but when I was like 14, I was bicycling by a friend's house and he was having a yard sale, And he had his Shogun Warriors out there, and I had a very awkward don't make eye contact with you while I buy all your Shogun Warriors and put them in a garbage bag on my bike and bring them to my house.
Oh my God. That's kind of awesome. I mean, but were they all loose?
They're all loose. They're all kind of beat, and I still have the Mazinga. I'm still staring at the Mazinga right now because it's like kind of the first vintage toy I bought. Even, you know, this is like, you know, it's the first thing I bought to collect a vintage toy.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of kept that around because, you know, it reminds me of that, you know, losing your toy virginity, I guess. I don't know.
And you get to say things like, I'm staring at my great Mazinga right now.
That's right. And it's said without irony.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I wouldn't have saved the box for the Millennium Falcon. I didn't save it for the X-Wing.
I knew kids that did save the boxes.
I saved the box for that Dragoon, and I treated it as if he was not going to sleep, but, you know, like he was this giant robot that, you know, went back into his lair or, you know, whatever the packaging was that he came in. And I kept that box. So whenever that thing disappeared, somebody got that and got it with the box and all the discs that shot out of it. And, oh, that was a seminal Christmas too, where everything changed. I know we've referenced this before and I made a little joke. And so apologies to anyone I might have offended about the missiles, you know, coming out. But they changed the missiles coming out of all the toys. That was huge, you know, and there was one Christmas that I swear I had a Battlestar Galactica ship that shot missiles and I had one that didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm getting the timelines a bit wrong, but I had like the Colonial Viper. And then I had this other one that was like a probe kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the missiles just went dink, and they just kind of popped out. And then
they popped out like an inch, and then they went back in. Yeah,
you just pushed them back in. Yeah, I always wanted the Cylon. See, it's like this: I wanted the Cylon ship. I didn't get the Cylon ship. The Mattel, you know, Cylon ship with the little Cylon that went in it. I got the MPC model kit of the Cylon ship.
Oh.
So it was just like that. It was like just kind of almost there, but just missed the mark a little bit. And then, of course, I never put the thing together, you know, because it wasn't a toy. But I did get the 12-inch Cylon.
Oh, how disappointing.
I got him one Christmas.
Even as a kid, I didn't like those. They didn't look right.
It didn't look right to me, but I thought it was so cool because you could do the eye. You did the eye, right? The eye went back and forth.
Yeah, that was decent. And then, you know, years later, you find out that it's just a recycled Major Matt Mason figure.
Well, I didn't, and I always thought that was so strange. Wait, is that who it was, or was it?
It's Captain Laser.
It's Captain Laser.
Yeah,
and that's why I thought it was so weird that they did this Colonial Warrior. He's like a guy in a beige vest.
Yeah, who kind of looks like he's got white hair, and you're kind of like, is that supposed to be Commander Adama? What's like, the deal?
Couldn't figure that out. That was the weirdest thing. But that was another big property in the house that I wanted was the Galactica stuff. And those ships were great. The ships that Mattel did were really nice. They still hold up really well. Those little figures that went inside of them.
Yeah, right.
Those were great. Those were great toys. Starbird, the waxing. There's something else that's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it now. That was a big, big Christmas thing that I kind of made a stink about, and I can't remember what it was. Any stuff that you pined over, but besides the Shogun Warriors that you didn't get, and then never said anything.
There's probably a ton of things, you know. Over the years. My mom had a really good factor for what she did and didn't like. Like, she didn't like Dr. Steel. She, you know, he looked too nasty. What's some of the other ones I can recall? Pulsar, no effing way.
Why? Because his heart was on the
outside. Oh, yeah. There's no way. even I knew there was, like, nah, that's not going to fly. Evel Knievel, absolutely not. She hated him.
I was never a big Knievel guy, I gotta say. I think I had the stunt cycle.
I see. I think it was all about the toy itself. I couldn't have given a rat. I wasn't even 100% sure he was a real guy.
Yeah, he was like one of those guys that was on every variety show. There seemed to be a television special all the time. I didn't really care. And I think I had the cycle, but you know what I had were those – what was the one that was like those racers that shot out of the gun? They were like Marvel, I think. And it was like a white sort of a rifle, and you put this sort of a slot car in the rifle, and it sort of the nose of it was an angle that you put on the floor. You know, it was kind of angled, so when you pulled the trigger, the racer shot out of this gun. Do you remember those? You know what I'm talking about?
Ricochet racers.
Ricochet racers.
Yeah, by Hasbro. They did a great Captain America. That's Spider-Man. The one. Yeah.
Yeah, I had that.
I thought the gun was cooler than the cars, even. The gun looked kind of sci-fi and you know.
It was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge. I also had a really cool thing. Oh, now I'm thinking. Did you have any of the super kick stuff where you punch the head and they would kick a field goal or
not my bag. The super the shopper super jocks.
Super jocks. Yeah. I had the one that did the field goal, and I think I had the soccer. Football, soccer, one. But I also had this thing that was like an aircraft carrier that shot planes off of it.
That is by Mattel, and that is called Flying Aces.
Oh my God.
They recycled for Battlestar Galactica.
For the 1978 Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, they just turned the aircraft carrier to look like the Galactica, and it shot Vipers.
Oh my God! I would never knew that. I would have killed for that.
Actually, no. Sorry, it didn't look like Galactica. I think it looks just like a launch bay.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. it was a big thing, and then the planes were like foam.
Yep.
And they shot into the next zip code. They really flew.
But they could get mangled easy, couldn't they?
Well, the nose would get bent. You know, because once the nose hits wherever it's going, it starts to get bent, and they start to get a little wonky, and then the wings get a little wonky the more they get beat up. But that was a big toy. You know, that was a big – as a little kid getting a big box like that, that was a big get. I think I wanted that thing too. I'm pretty sure. But isn't it funny how you think about something like the Early Bird kit, and it's nothing. It was just this envelope, and – I thought it was the coolest thing because I knew that it meant toys were coming, but it was Star Wars, and it was the biggest thing that Christmas, you know? And then eventually when I got the Early Bird kit, when it showed up, I think I've told this story, there was the first four figures that showed up. That's all there were.
Yeah.
I then took the background and cut out all the other characters, you know, so I had characters that they could interact with.
Right.
You know, a little cardboard Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
Blew $500 bucks.
Yeah. Well, you would have never sold it if you still had it, so.
No, you're right. I still have the envelope that's all kind of bent, and I still have the, you know, the ID card and the pictures, this, you know, Star Wars Space Club that my brother put my name in.
Right.
I still have those. And I still have the figures. I still have my Early Bird set of figures with the Luke with the needle nose lightsaber. I've saved all that stuff. Just not the little box that it came in, obviously.
Right.
So nothing on Christmas. So Christmas Eve, you guys are just, you fall asleep under the tree kind of thing.
Pretty much. And then the next day was just play with your toys and have dinner.
Yeah, it was cool. Cause then it was, you know, what did you get off for school? Were you off for like 2 weeks?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, same here. And so that was just spent with just playing with these toys, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent a lot of time alone as a kid.
You did?
Well, I mean, you know, not because I smelled or anything, but just, you know, I had two older brothers, but I just kind of did my own thing. And so that's where the toy thing would come in, and I would make up TV shows with the figures and stuff. And, you know, could spend a lot of hours on those toys.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I didn't have a sibling that could. My sister's 5 years older than me, so I did have some neighbor kids. But you know, there was a lot of quiet times too, and a lot of those toys got a lot of play, especially Oscar Goldman will forever remind me that right after we had Christmas Eve, I think it's 77, my parents woke me up at like 5 in the morning, shoved me in the car, and sent me to – we drove to Florida. And I brought a stack of Peanuts books and Oscar Goldman and Steve Austin. That's the only things I brought. So they got a lot of play that week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Why did they, what was the trip to Florida?
It's just like, let's go to Disney World and, you know, I think my folks decided to see every town in Florida, if I recall correctly. But, yeah, it was like a week and a half in Florida. It was great. I remember it because, you know, it was the States and I'd never been to the States and all that stuff I'd seen on TV, like Carvel. And sure. Things like that were there, and I think we've talked about that, where I went into Carvel and as a kid, and was sort of like, "Oh, we can't order a cake, you know? We're in a car, you know."
Was there a Christmas that was like a cutoff where you went, I shouldn't be asking for toys, or
yeah, yeah.
What was the cutoff?
I think it was the eighth grade. And my grandmother bought me something or other, and it didn't go over well. And I realized, all right, I kind of got to be done with the toys, you know.
It's funny because you would have been like 13.
Yeah, yeah, and I was kind of losing interest in it anyways. Like it wasn't there anymore for me anyways. So.
I can tell you what it was for me. And it's funny because if you had asked me this yesterday, I couldn't have told you. But now that we're just talking about it, it was 2XL.
No kidding.
It was 2XL, and it must have been 81 or 82. So I must have been like 12. And I wanted this thing because as far as I was concerned, and this was right around the time that there were a couple of different robot type things on the market that seemed like you could interact with them. And I remember this guy and I truly felt like I was getting a robot of my own and that I could interact and speak to this thing. I mean, I picked it up pretty quickly once I got it and did the 8-track thing that it was a random thing, but it was this, you've seen the thing. It's got this weird Brooklyn accent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a big hit for Mego.
And I just thought it was the greatest. And then that I could then take random 8-track cassettes that were in the house and play those as well. And one of them was my brother had a George Carlin live George Carlin stand-up album. And I – not Class Clown, but something
– Takeoffs and Put-Offs?
Is that the one where he's holding a couple of different masks?
Yeah, that was my first George Carlin record.
Is that when he does the Hippy Dippy Weatherman?
Yes. I could actually act that out. I listened to
The whole, like, tomorrow's high whenever I get up.
Wonderful Wino.
Wonderful Wino.
Yeah.
In Western Walla Walla. I used to listen to that thing over and over and over again. The Weatherman thing and that Hippy Dippy Weatherman. Oh my God! I'm just thinking of this stuff. I wouldn't have thought of this, but I listened to it on 2XL, so his eyes would light up and sound like George Carlin.
That's funny.
That was it. And I remember too, there was I could be wrong about this, but there was Montgomery Ward, and then there were like Montgomery Ward sort of outlet stores.
Yeah, so you get the closeouts.
Closeouts or remainder type things. That's where I got my Knickerbocker ring wraith and the horse that I still have was on one of these remainder stores. And that's where we got 2XL because that was an expensive toy.
Yeah, he was. And Mego made a big deal out of the fact that they could sell that toy. I remember there's some trade advertising about, you know, we sold this $65 toy.
Was that how much it was?
I'm trying to dig it up now that I.
I was going
to
say $40, which in '82 was a hell of a lot of money for a toy.
And I think but it's a little late to get him at that point. But here it is. Can a $50 to $80 retail toy sell in New York in June? That's the ad. And
oh my God.
Yeah, and that's from 78. So he was released in 78. So you got him in 82. So they were still running him, eh?
I think I got him in 80 or 81 because, you know, there were different cassettes that you could get. And, you know, there would be different quizzes. You know, one was history, one was music, and one was movies. And one of the movie one had, you know, Star Wars questions. Mm. It might have had an E.T. question. I don't remember. The problem, too, maybe that's why this was difficult for me. Maybe that's why I got him as a remainder. You know, and it certainly wasn't as expensive, but I know I begged for him. And it was hard to find the 8-tracks. You know, I don't know if they made like 9 or 10 of the 8-track, you know, quiz things, and maybe I had 3 of them. They were kind of hard to track down. And, you know, you'd put the cassette in, and then you'd put the little cardboard thing over the buttons that changed the answers,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you press the button. But, you know, that was my robot pal that Christmas. You know, it was a big, big hunk of plastic. Was it something else? And then they made it into 2XL?
No, it was 2XL exclusively. It was a big deal. It was an inventor-owned product like Magnadoodle or something else that Mego made. Like Tiger Toys brought 2XL back in the 90s. No one seemed to notice.
It's the first time hearing about it.
Yeah, it was a big deal. You know, you brought up you were talking of 2XL. My like, okay, I'm too old for toys thing was Armatron.
Armatron.
Yeah, it was sold by Radio Shack. I still have it. It was just a robot arm that you could control, and I was in, you know, the eighth grade or something, and I just thought that thing was so awesome. And I got it on Christmas Eve, and I remember like playing with it for like 5 minutes and going, okay, this is a kid's toy, you know, because it's just a little robot claw that goes around and it can pick stuff up.
Well, outside of the fact that you just said kid's toy, you just described every toy from Radio Shack ever made.
Yeah.
Was you'd play with it. There was I we had an Italian family. I was an altar boy, you know, for a couple of years, and I didn't know you didn't get paid for it.
Oh.
You know, I was like Christmas time, and then, you know, all the kids would come up to the, you know, Father Pingator would, you know, do the thing at Christmas, and the altar boys, here's what you get. And we got a little Whitman chocolate sampler, little box of chocolates.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, this is a rip. Am I not getting a paycheck for doing this? And I you know, did the ceremony of a cousin's wedding or something. And they gave me this as a gift. They gave me, I think it was Radio Shack. It was like a sound effects board where
okay.
you could somehow connect different wires and make different sound effects. I mean, it was like, you know, splitting the atom. I couldn't figure this thing out. I spent 5 minutes on it, and it just put it back in the box, and it just collected dust. Do you remember a thing? You just said something that made me think of Spirograph. But do you remember this thing that was like, imagine like Lincoln Logs, but clear plastic. And you could make like cities. And they had sort of tubes that would connect to like different cups, you know, round sort of cups. And then it came on, you'd connect these sticks on a base that lit up. And the light would go through the clear plastic pieces and make this kind of a light up city. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No. I like, it sounds familiar, but it's not helping me. No.
I'm sure it was like a generic sort of thing. And I would, you know, I'd use that to build cities for all my other figures and stuff. All these small clear plastic pieces that were curved or straight, and you would take this base. Imagine like a light bright, but instead of being angled, you know, towards you, it was flat facing the ceiling. So the base had a bunch of holes in it, and you would put these clear sticks in the holes and then attach them to different bases, you know, round flat bases or cupped bases, and make this city. You could do these different, you know, attachments to build like a, it's almost like a hobbit trail, but the pieces weren't hollow.
Oh, I see.
And then when you flicked the light, different lights would come on in the base, and you'd kind of have this light up. It was a piece of crap. It was a, you know.
Yeah.
That fascinating. But it did the trick for a lot of my figures, I'll tell you that.
That's kind of cool in a way, like in a way it wasn't intended to be used, but you know.
Yeah, kind of. You'd build these cities and you could, you know, put all your fingers on.
I'll tell you one story that just kind of came to mind about Christmas. And if I didn't know there wasn't a Santa, I did this day. When I was about 10 or 11, my dad owned a building and the tenant, which was a hardware store, had defaulted on his rent and just kind of like left the store.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed help. And it was on Thanksgiving weekend to clear it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I helped him pack up the toys and actually bring the toys back to the supplier who this guy defaulted on.
Okay.
And as I was doing that, I was going through all the toys and one of the things was that Star Wars rifle. Another thing was 12-inch Luke, I remember that. And my dad said I could have one thing, and I think I took 12-inch Luke for helping him. Mm-hmm. But then there was the Moonraker shuttle, the dinky Moonraker shuttle, or was it Corgi?
That was Corgi, yeah.
And Space Lego, which I never had as a kid. My parents drew the line at Space Legos for some reason. and so at the end of the day, you know, I helped him. I got the 12-inch Luke. It was fine. 2 months later, under the tree is the pistol or the Star Wars gun, the Moonraker shuttle,
no
space leg. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So I guess no my dad way. Before he returned that stuff, and he did know the supplier, like it was some he probably I'm positive he paid the guy for it, but it was just kind of funny they didn't do much shopping that year.
That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have made that better is if it were like a family that he had to evict and they took all the toys and they were like loose toys that ended up under the tree.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that Dickensian. It was just like more lazy.
That's kind of fantastic.
Yeah, but no, that's a very vivid memory, and I was really happy with getting that 12-inch Luke, so it didn't really didn't bother me, or you know, I got to play with Space Lego. That was the only Space Lego set I got.
You know, this is a weird little addendum to this. There seemed to be a semi tradition for a couple of years around Easter as well, that as a kid looking for eggs around the house kind of thing, there would be the odd toy hidden somewhere.
Oh yeah.
And that's where I got a couple of my Flash Gordon figures.
I got the Mego spider car that way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was an Easter gift. Just one. You wouldn't get a lot of toys. And I actually got a Mego Spider-Man that Christmas or that Easter from my grandparents. I have a picture of me holding it in front of my crotch. I'm, you know, it's only six or so.
Again, so much of this sounds like euphemisms.
Yeah, it does.
So you're holding this Spidey-mobile in front of your crotch. There are fetishists out there right now that are
Googling that
image.
Photoshopping it. Yeah.
That's what they call it, the Spidey-mobile.
Push the web trap down. Push the web trap down. You know, to end this on the creepiest note ever, I think I've talked about this before, but on YouTube, I started putting like little clips of cartoons on Web Woman, Superman, mm-hmm. things like they're Super Friends, just things that I hadn't seen on DVD yet. Or I actually started getting weird requests like, can you play the episode where Web Woman gets gassed? And I would be like, that's an odd request. Or can you play the one where so-and-so gets shrunk and is in that person's hand? And I started to realize that I was actually – the requests were coming from fetishists.
No.
Yeah, especially the – and this was, you know, unbeknownst to me at the time, but now I'm kind of a little darker because of it. But there's a whole thing about, like, superheroes getting knocked out that's a weird turn-on.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm – I don't want to throw bricks out of my glass house, but that was a little weird to have it come out of a children's cartoon, you know?
It is, but in a way, I find that so tame and harmless.
Oh yeah.
That it's almost refreshing. Like, what are you into? Well, you know, if I had to tell you, it's versions of, you know, cartoon superheroes getting knocked out. Oh, no kidding. Okay. That's one of the least kinkiest things I've heard today. So
yeah, I think you're right. I remember just kind of thinking.
That is really strange. I've never, but you know, I just rediscovered the whole, I forget the guy's name, but the guy that created Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
Talk about fetishism. That whole superhero documentary, this guy, not only was he the guy that supposedly invented the lie detector,
yeah,
which is where the magic lasso comes from, but so much of the early comics were her in strange kind of bondage situations, like it, really helpless kind of moments, you know, getting spanked or, you know, over.
I have a Wonder Woman Treasury edition from when I was a kid where she is actually wearing a gimp mask.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, how come I'm, you know, like, this is pretty risque stuff for, you know, a kid to look at. And I wonder how many bondage fetishes were cast because of Wonder Woman comics, you know?
Wasn't he also, didn't he have like several wives or something too?
I believe he believed in like an open marriage.
An open marriage. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of ahead of his time. His son, by the way, who is an older gentleman now, has a wonderful Wonder Woman collection, and it's on YouTube, I think, of the tour of it.
Oh wow!
And it's pretty amazing the collectibles this guy has.
Wow, I found that fascinating. That what a strange creation.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he was Alan Moore before Alan Moore, basically.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. He did have kind of an open marriage. It was like another woman in the mix.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out so well for Alan Moore.
No, it did not.
It didn't quite work. So I'm not sure if that's going to catch on.
Yeah, that equation got a beard minus out of it.
See, what other show? What other show can you?
Goes right from Christmas to Christmas open marriages.
Open marriages and Alan Moore's beard.
And bondage fetish.
And bondage fetish. There you go. That's a show.
And on that note, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yahoo Dore.
Get out some gimp gear.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap for now, and we will be back in the new year with the Retro Awards. It's something I've done on the blog for years, but we're going to do a show.
That's
about,
right.
And we're going to talk about what retro stuff we liked this year. And there's a lot to talk about and go forward. It's the closest to current events we'll ever do on this show. But I assure you, we'll also ping back into the retro thing while we're doing it. So
absolutely.
Thanks for listening this year. It's been a great 12 episodes. I'm sure I'll talk to you before, Jason, but have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Kwanzaa, everything. And has it been 12 episodes?
It has, because we doubled up in October.
No kidding. Well, happy 12th to you.
Yeah, happy 12th to you. Happy Life Day to you.
Happy Life Day.
That's it, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, everybody.